You know, investing in our kids' education and development is something we all care deeply about. But how do we know if our efforts are really paying off? And more importantly, how do we make sure our investments are making the biggest difference, especially for those who need it most?
That's a huge question, and it really gets to the heart of education policy. Are we putting resources in the right places?
Exactly. Today, we're diving into a fascinating paper called Ordinal Complementarity by Martin Almuzara, Martin Garcia Vasquez, and Joseph Mullins. It tackles this very issue by looking at how different inputs, like educational investments, interact with a child's existing skills.
So, it's about understanding the bang for your buck in child development?
Pretty much. The core research question is whether the traditional ways we think about complementarity in skill formation are truly robust enough to guide policy. They're asking if our policy recommendations hold up, no matter how we measure or value the outcome.
What do you mean by robust enough, or no matter how we value the outcome? That sounds a bit abstract.
Well, imagine you're a policymaker trying to decide if investing more in early literacy programs is better for kids who are already doing well, or for those who are struggling.
Right, a common dilemma. Equity versus efficiency, often.
Precisely. A traditional economic definition of complementarity might tell you that an input, say a new tutoring program, provides a bigger boost to kids who already have higher skills. That would imply targeting resources to them for maximum impact.
Okay, so that suggests a policy for higher skilled kids.
But here's the catch. That finding might only be true if you measure skill in one very specific way, say, average test scores. If you then look at another outcome, like graduating high school or getting into college, the picture could completely flip.
So, the policy advice changes depending on what goal you're optimizing for. That makes it really hard to make a general decision.
It does. The paper argues that these traditional definitions aren't robust. Their main finding is that they've developed a new, stronger concept called ordinal complementarity. This definition means that if a process exhibits it, the policy implications are consistent, no matter how you value or measure the final outcome.
So, ordinal complementarity gives us policy advice that sticks, regardless of whether we care more about high school completion, college entry, or even future earnings.
That's the idea. It means the optimal allocation of investment, whether it's more for high-skilled or low-skilled kids, holds true even if a social planner has very strong redistributive preferences. It's about getting truly generalizable policy content.
That's a significant improvement in how we think about these policy trade-offs. What does this mean in practice for, say, cognitive skill formation in children?
Their empirical application to cognitive skill formation in children is where it gets really interesting. They looked at data from the children of the National Longitudinal Survey of Youth, tracking kids over time.
And what did they find about how skills build?
For very young children in early childhood, they found that cognitive skill formation actually doesn't exhibit either ordinal complementarity or ordinal substitutability.
What does ordinal substitutability mean in this context?
It's the opposite of complementarity. It would mean that an input, like an educational program, gives a proportionally larger boost to kids with lower existing skills. So, if skill formation were ordinally substitutable, you'd target resources to the struggling kids.
Got it. So, for the youngest kids, it's neither. Does that mean the policy advice is still ambiguous?
Precisely. For early childhood, the implications for optimal investment do depend on the specific outcome you prioritize and how much society values redistribution. There's no one-size-fits-all policy here. This is a stark contrast to how we discussed monetary policy transmission in the paper by Albuquerque, Lazarowicz, and Lenny.
Ah, I remember that one. That research showed how monetary policy impacts disproportionately affect different groups, like mortgagors versus landlords, and how behavioral biases can really muddy the waters for policymakers.
Exactly. In that context, achieving broad, robust policy outcomes was incredibly complex because the effects were so varied and dependent on specific groups and their behaviors.
So, with today's paper, if we do find ordinal complementarity, the policy prescriptions are much more straightforward and less sensitive to those kinds of distributional concerns.
That's the new insight. It highlights that the robustness of policy advice isn't guaranteed. Some economic contexts, like the one we saw with monetary policy, demand a very nuanced, context-specific approach due to heterogeneity.
But if a process exhibits ordinal complementarity, as defined here, then policymakers get a much clearer, less contentious signal.
Right. In those specific scenarios, the policy advice becomes more resilient to differing opinions on how to value outcomes or redistribute resources. It's a powerful distinction.
So, the context really matters for how solid our policy advice can be. What about older children in this paper?
For school-aged children, the picture changes significantly. The paper finds that cognitive skill formation appears to be very close to being ordinally substitutable.
That sounds like good news for equity. So, for school-aged kids, investment boosts lower-skilled children more, regardless of the ultimate goal?
Yes, that's the powerful takeaway. It implies that for school-aged children, the highest investments should consistently be targeted to the lowest-skilled children. This holds true regardless of the specific anchor outcome, like high school or college completion, and irrespective of redistributive preferences. Equity and efficiency align here.
That's a huge finding for education policy, offering a clear direction for resource allocation for older kids. How did they actually figure this out? What was their method?
The core of their method is quite innovative. They define ordinal complementarity technically as a property of the conditional survival function, essentially meaning that the likelihood of achieving higher outcomes is consistently boosted more by additional inputs for higher skilled individuals across all possible valuations.
Conditional survival function, so like the probability of not failing given certain inputs?
Roughly, yes. And importantly, they show this is equivalent to saying that the expected value of any non-decreasing valuation of the outcome, what they call QY, is supermodular in the inputs.
Supermodular? That's a term economists use a lot. What does it mean in plain language here?
Think of it this way. If something is supermodular, it means the benefits of increasing one input are greater when another input is also at a higher level. It implies positive interactions or synergies. For their empirical testing, they needed to make this concept measurable. They leverage the fact that ordinal complementarity can be expressed as a set of moment inequalities.
So, rather than looking for an exact equality, they're testing if certain relationships are consistently greater than or equal to zero or vice versa.
Exactly. They compare differences in survival probabilities, essentially asking if the returns to an investment increase or decrease with a child's initial skill level across various points. They use advanced statistical techniques to handle these moment inequalities.
And they applied this to the CNLSY data, looking at skill formation. It sounds like a sophisticated way to get at these fundamental questions.
It is. They also built upon established approaches like dynamic latent factor models, similar to work by Kuna, Heckman, and Shenick. This helps identify the true underlying skills and investments, which are often hard to measure directly.
So, the implications seem pretty clear. For school-age kids, direct investment in lower-skilled children is the way to go, consistently. But for younger kids, it's more complex.
That's right. The robustness of policy recommendations changes with age. For early childhood, because they found neither ordinal complementarity nor substitutability, policy needs to be more tailored.
That could be seen as a limitation in a way. It means we don't always get a universal answer for optimal investment.
A fair point. It means that for early childhood, policymakers really need to be specific about their desired outcomes and whether they prioritize equity or pure efficiency. There's no shortcut. However, they did find some weaker properties for early childhood skill formation. It exhibits what they call convex ordinal complementarity and concave ordinal substitutability.
What do those weaker properties tell us? Do they offer some general guidance?
Yes, they offer moderate generalizability. It means if you're looking at outcomes valued by convex functions, think about outcomes where the marginal benefit accelerates, then you might find complementarity, and vice versa for concave valuations.
So, it's not a universal invest in high skill or invest in low skill, but it narrows down the possibilities depending on the shape of the outcome function.
Precisely. It's not as strong as full ordinal complementarity, but it's more general than traditional cardinal definitions. It helps refine policy even when the strongest condition doesn't hold. Overall, the paper really pushes our understanding of how to derive truly robust policy advice from empirical findings in education and human capital development. It highlights the importance of how we define and measure these fundamental economic properties.
This has been a really enlightening discussion. So, to wrap things up, what are the three key takeaways you'd highlight from this paper?
First, traditional definitions of complementarity can be misleading. Ordinal complementarity offers a stronger, more robust framework for deriving consistent policy guidance, no matter how we value the outcome.
And second?
Second, the empirical findings show that for school-aged children, skill formation is consistently ordinally substitutable. This means investments should be targeted towards lower-skilled children, aligning both equity and efficiency goals across various policy objectives.
And finally?
Finally, for very young children, the picture is more complex. Their skill formation doesn't show full ordinal complementarity or substitutability, meaning policy for this age group needs to consider specific desired outcomes and societal preferences for redistribution more carefully. It's not a one-size-fits-all answer. And that wraps up our discussion for today. Thanks for joining us.